This is The Sun on the Strip, and I'm Brock Radke, entertainment writer at the Las Vegas Sun, here to get you caught up on all the news and fun this week from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip. Two big names from NBC nighttime talk shows are performing in different shows on the Strip this week. Seth Meyers is doing stand-up comedy at Encore Theater on Saturday, and Questlove is DJing at Park MGM twice this weekend. I have interviews with both of them for you to listen in on, but before we get to that, we have to talk about the big announcement from Cirque du Soleil this week about a new original show coming to the Luxor this fall. And back on the podcast to talk with me about that show and more is Ken Miller, editor of Las Vegas Magazine. How you doing today, Ken?
Oh, I'm doing great. Very excited about this show.
Yeah, this was I feel like it's just happened for us, but I feel like it's going to catch some people by surprise. It's a very, very different direction. It's called Run.
Let's be specific. R period, U period, N period.
So right.
It's an acronym for something. We don't know what that is.
But there's no period after the N.
Ah.
There's only two periods.
Okay.
Typical Cirque show name. There's some strange punctuation and maybe strange different ways to pronounce it. It could be R-U-N, which means something else.
I don't think Cirque would have it any other way.
I'm going to call it Run, and we'll see what happens. they're calling it Cirque's first live-action thriller. It's opening on October 24th, which is almost exactly a year after Criss Angel Mind Freak closed in the same venue, the approximately 1,500-seat theater at the Luxor.
Right.
This is Cirque's 10th resident show on the Las Vegas Strip, and the last new Cirque show to open was 6 years ago. That's Michael Jackson 1 at Mandalay Bay. So that just kind of gives you an idea of how long it's been since we got something new from Cirque. But like I said, this one seems very different from everything else that's come before it. It's going to have a very clearly defined storyline and lots of action movie style stunts. And the writer of the show is Robert Rodriguez, very well known filmmaker. I'm a fan of his stuff.
Desperado.
For sure. Mm-hmm. Yep. So to me, it kind of sounds like they're trying to bring an action movie to life on stage in Las Vegas, which is pretty exciting. I wrote a story about this for LasVegasSun.com and had a pretty extensive interview with the president of Cirque du Soleil, Daniel Lamar. So there's some interesting tidbits in there. But what's your just initial reaction to this show announcement?
Well, I'm excited, first of all, that we're getting a new Cirque show for the first time in so long, because, for anyone who knows Vegas, Cirque is a very established brand and really helped to kind of build the current Strip as it now stands. And I feel like it's nice that they're coming back to the Luxor, because Cirque had kind of been at the Luxor at one point because they had partnered with Criss Angel in the original iteration of his show, which was Believe. And when they parted company, I think a lot of people thought Cirque might not return to the Luxor. But now that Criss has moved to Planet Hollywood, he's left that space vacant so they can move back in. I think the show will do very well. I think the Cirque brand, for anyone who's seen any of their shows, knows that they put all their care and attention into every product. And I know that we were being told that this is a straight-ahead storyline, which is great. But I almost kind of wonder if it's the right thing to do, because I think Cirque works best when you're kind of off your guard. You really don't know quite what's coming, what's going on, what does this have to do with the next thing. It's an interesting concept, and we'll see if it works. But it's nice to see that they're doing something different, because this is very unique for them.
Yeah, and I guess that's a good point. I guess, Cirque saying this one's going to tell a story in a more clearly defined way, that's coming from Cirque, which tells stories in so many different kinds of ways.
I mean, even Ka, which does have somewhat of a story frame, is still a little like that. You're still kind of wondering, where are we going from this point? What is this? What's this coming here? It is a straightforward storyline, but with the Cirque twist. Mm-hmm. So we'll see if this is different. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm very excited.
Yeah, me too. Like I said, Daniel Lamar, some of the things that he talked to me about, he told me that there will be motorcycles and cars on stage,
right,
and the show will be immersive in a way that translates into basically stunts and action happening all around you in the theater. He also talked about kind of creating this first-time collaboration with some Hollywood stunt producers and performers with the Cirque du Soleil team, you know, how to combine movie special effects and live performance into something new that we haven't seen before. So all of this sounds super exciting. I think it's really exciting for Luxor too, like you mentioned, not just to get another show, another resident show in there, but to have it be something that's going to get a lot of buzz going, you know. No matter what happens, no matter what the reviews of the show are, come October, everyone's going to be talking about this.
Absolutely. And yeah.
That's really important for Luxor right now because they're trying to do exactly that, get some more attention when the Las Vegas Stadium opens next year and the Raiders start playing football here. Luxor is in a prime position to capitalize on that, along Absolutely. With Mandalay Bay and Excalibur, those very southern strip properties.
Yep.
And yet, you know, MGM Resorts runs Luxor. We just saw MGM redo the Monte Carlo into something very different and new in Park MGM. You can't really rebrand the Luxor. It's a pyramid-shaped casino and hotel. It exactly. is what it is.
Exactly.
So what they have to do is add new elements like this that are going to bring a new audience and some new excitement to the
resort. And the Luxor has been doing a lot of new projects in addition to this. I mean, they are definitely active in keeping that property relevant and exciting, and I think they're doing a good job. So,
yeah, I'm sure we're all going to be digging into this and writing a lot about it in the next few months. Yeah, it's pretty interesting, and it just seems so different. I'm also really interested to see what they do with the music for this show, because music is such a big element in all Cirque du Soleil shows.
Huge. I've actually bought a couple of Cirque du Soleil soundtracks over my lifetime.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, their music is a huge foundation of those shows.
Mm-hmm. And even going beyond, obviously that's kind of the leading element in the Michael Jackson show, in the Beatles show. But all these shows, that the music goes so far to create an atmosphere and to create a tone that kind of dictates the action sometimes.
And it's live.
Yeah.
Well, with the exception of the Beatles and Michael Jackson. But, right. Yeah, it's live. So,
and I think that this being a completely different kind of show, it's going to be, I'm intrigued by what they're going to do music-wise. I did ask about if there was going to be live music in this one, and it sounds like it's going to be a mix. A mix of things. But it's also designed to kind of get maybe some younger people into those seats than would go to the average Cirque du Soleil show. So I'm sure the music will follow suit with that. Run, or RUN, whatever you want to call it, coming October 24th to the Luxor. Also, equally exciting, I know everybody always is very excited to talk about parking.
Or who hate would, on who parking. Would have thought you and I would ever be sitting here talking about parking in Las Vegas?
Yeah,
but here we are.
I never thought parking would become such a big part of my my beat, so to speak. But
we're now at the point where a lot of properties are promoting themselves by saying free parking.
It's true.
It is big.
And now we have had kind of the first one to start charging and then completely reverse that position, and that's Wynn. Applause.
I applaud Wynn wholeheartedly.
Starting on Wednesday, May 1st, Wynn and Encore will allow free self-parking with no restrictions to all of their guests. Those properties started charging for parking in August of 2016, and then last July they created this new program wherein if you spend $50 on property, you won't have to pay for the parking. But now they've gone in the complete reverse direction. I think it's a little bit surprising. I didn't necessarily expect that. This wasn't very long ago. When I looked this up and saw that they started charging in 2016, I thought it was more recent than that.
Mm-hmm.
I guess time flies when you're spending all your money on parking.
Well, I mean, my standpoint on this whole thing, and for whoever's listening out there from MGMRI or Caesars Entertainment, as a as a writer and an editor for Las Vegas Magazine, I go to a lot of things on the Strip, and I do pay for parking as part of covering these shows. I mean, that is part of the cost of doing my job. And I would add to that that when I go recreationally with my family or my wife or whoever, I usually try to pick properties that do have free parking, because that is a big part of the cost of going to anything now on the Strip. And I know that this is, you know, a soft spot for a lot of people still. I think a lot of people are still not getting used to it. And I do think that charging for parking changed the landscape of Las Vegas. It changed the nature of what this city is. I still believe that. And I am hoping that this is a sign of things to come, that they will inspire others to realize you can, you know, you can take that off the table and still not really, you know, impact your bottom line by much. Mm-hmm. But we'll see. You know, I mean, this is, you know, been a long time now. It seems like a long time. So it's probably here to stay for the most part, but I can hope.
Yeah, I think I agree with you, but I also think that I know for me, it's difficult to assess like how big of a dent in the image of Las Vegas parking and like resort fees and this other, you know, kind of increase of different fees like this, how much of a difference it's making, because I live here, but I'm also on the Strip all the time. I'm probably on the Strip more than anybody is that lives here, unless they work in one of these resorts. And so, yeah, it definitely causes me some issues, as it does to you also. But, yeah, I just don't know because there's so many visitors that I think it doesn't really bother them, I think. It just depends
because
on where you're coming
because they're
from.
Used to it in other areas.
Yeah, and maybe they don't have a car when they come here, so it's not even a thing. I think part of this Wynn thing, I mean, we know that Wynn still is largely a luxury customer, and these people are used to paying for that high quality standard that you get eating and staying in the rooms and doing all the things that you would do at Wynn and Encore. I think it's more of a pain in the butt to just do the thing, to just pay. I don't think it's the money so much as it is, I just don't want another little ticket to hold on to. I just don't want another little thing that I have to account for. That doesn't fit in with the luxury model of these resorts, which is why I was more surprised that they started charging for parking than I am now that they are stopping.
Well, and if we're getting into the weeds, the thing that drives me crazy is at the end of the night when you go to redeem, you know, validate your ticket, there's only a few machines available. And
that is true.
And on concert nights and big event nights, mm-hmm. the lines for those machines is ridiculous.
Yes.
And then you've also got the added little bonus that when you're trying to get out of the garage, there's always a few people who forgot to validate their ticket in the property mm-hmm. and are sitting there at the gate and they can't do anything. And you're stuck behind them until they figure it out.
Yeah.
So there's, you know, I mean, there's lots of little things that make this even more annoying. But really, for me, the bottom line, and I understand what you're saying, but I think the bottom line is that I think Vegas for a long time has had this image as a place where, you know, you're here, you're a king. You're treated like a king from top to bottom. And that to me included comps. It included, you know, the free parking. It included all the points you earn, you know, when you're here. It's all part of the same package to me. So that's how I look at it. And I'd like to see it come back. But like I said, times change. And, you know, I guess Vegas is not immune to that.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you, like me, were using the Fashion Show Mall as a Wynn parking hack, now we can go back to parking at Wynn and not paying for it. MGM Resorts, of course, kind of started this paid parking garage trend on the Strip. That was in June 2016. And this week, after the Wynn announcement, CDC Gaming Reports writer Howard Stutz had a quote from MGM President Bill Hornbuckle saying, basically, this doesn't change anything for MGM. They don't have any plans to change their paid parking plan.
Right. Which doesn't surprise me.
We'll see what happens in the future. You never know.
You never know.
At Center Strip, we got a big opening happening this week. The Jimmy Kimmel Comedy Club is opening at the Link Promenade on Thursday, May 2nd. This is really cool. It's a two-level, 8,000-square-foot venue. It's going to have 300 seats in its comedy showroom. It's going to have a bar that opens every day at 4, and the shows are going to start at 8 p.m. Thursdays through Sundays with additional 10 p.m. shows Fridays and Saturdays. The opening headliner this weekend is Harlan Williams from the great Dave Chappelle stoner movie Half-Baked.
He was also in Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah, and he was also in There's Something About Mary. He's the hitchhiker.
Yep.
He's great. I love that guy.
He is amazing. This is just another thing that makes the Link Promenade even more awesome. I've said for a long time, it's one of the top draws on the Strip for me. The Link Promenade is just amazing, and this is just one more bonus for people who, you know, want to hang out there.
Yeah, I think you and I have talked about the Link Promenade on this show before. It's kind of amazing how many things they've added just in the last year or so. You know, talk about the big zip line that's making a big impact. The comedy club is a little bit further away from the Strip. I would say it's in the kind of the second half, close to Brooklyn Bowl, closer to the high roller observation wheel,
closer to the parking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's also cool to see another kind of traditional comedy club opening up on the Strip. We've had a few others in the last few years, and this is a good trend, I think.
I was just talking to an associate of mine this morning about comedy in Las Vegas and how I'm. It's nice that the city is actually supporting stand-up comedy. I think it is important. Stand-up comedy is not easy. It's not easy to do, and your support means the world to these people. And I love that Vegas has, you know, put together so many of these comedy clubs, and we're not quite on a par with some of the other major comedy hubs yet, but I feel like we are on our way. And I feel like Jimmy, you know, opening this club is a huge part of that. I mean, Jimmy Kimmel has been a great ambassador for Las Vegas since he's been an entertainer. So the fact that he's actually coming here and putting something down, that's big. So bravo.
He's in Vegas all the time. He very recently filmed a whole week's worth of his late night talk show at the Zappos Theater at Planet Hollywood. Clearly has a great relationship with Caesars, which operates the Link Promenade. He's going to be dipping into this comedy club all the time. Any night you could go in there and he could be in there.
Which is another reason I think it's kind of exciting to go. Just you never know who's going to pop up at these places. Brad Garrett doesn't always play his comedy club, but who knows? He could pop up from time to time. You don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and I feel like Kimmel will bring friends, you know? Like he'll come in there and he'll have some movie star or somebody on a show and they'll jump on a plane and fly to Vegas and there you go. Speaking of Caesars, the Coliseum continues to make news consistently. 2 weeks ago, it was the renovations that the theater is going to have this summer. Last week, it was Sting's residency coming in 2020. And this week, it's Mariah Carey. New dates for her. Two different shows were announced this week, and tickets go on sale for all of them on Friday, May 10th. She's coming back to do Christmas shows again, five of them, in November, and then she's doing eight of her, I guess, her regular residency, The Butterfly Returns, eight of those concerts in February. I'm still a Mariah Carey fan. I've seen both of her. Actually, I saw The Butterfly Returns when it first opened, and I think that she's made some changes since then last year. So I'm excited to go back and see that again. I am kind of a sucker for Christmas stuff, so maybe I'll go see that again. That was fun.
Well, she has done well here, and I think a lot of people were wondering if this was the end for her. So I think a lot of fans are pleasantly surprised. I think she'll continue to do very well here.
Yeah, and she's not playing, you know, what you would call Celine numbers. She's not going to be in town all the time. She's still touring and doing other things. But I think she could have a longer engagement at the Coliseum at this rate. And I'm not surprised that she's doing more dates, because remember when she renewed her residency at the Coliseum, it was with Live Nation, and now Live Nation is booking that room in partnership with Caesars. So I still think we're going to see some more, at least one more resident announced at the Coliseum in the next few months.
I mean, now that Elton's officially gone and now that Celine is about to wrap up her run, I think a lot of people are wondering, will the Coliseum stay relevant? Will it still, you know, have the exciting acts? I think there's absolutely no question that's going to continue to happen. Mm-hmm. I mean, if these are any indication, of course. But, yeah, I think live music in Las Vegas is right now possibly the most you know, I keep using this word exciting during the podcast, but live music is exciting here. We are getting everybody. We're getting the biggest acts. So anyone who's wondering about the Coliseum, I would stop worrying. There's nothing to worry about. It'll be fine. Mm-hmm.
And you're going to see a lot of coverage of all of that stuff from me at LasVegasSun.com and from Ken and his team, including me at LasVegasMagazine.com. Ken Miller, thanks again.
Yeah, my pleasure.
You know Seth Meyers from his long stint on Saturday Night Live as head writer and weekend update anchorman. And for the last 5 years, he's been starring, of course, in Late Night with Seth Meyers on NBC. He's been playing Vegas for years, too, at the Mirage and Cosmopolitan. And he's doing stand-up at Wynn for the first time, Saturday, May 4th at Encore Theater. Here's me and Seth.
I was talking to Chris Tucker a little while ago. He's been playing that room as well, and he was telling me how much he likes that room because it's like super fancy, but also kind of the right size for comedy.
Yes. I will say there is a size that gets a little big for comedy, and right. You can feel the laughs get away from you a little bit. Mm-hmm. So, again, you know, not speaking from experience, but I've heard that it is better. You feel like you're right there with the audience and obviously the comedian, that's what you're hoping for.
Mm-hmm. Has Vegas been a pretty good spot for you just in general in terms of the audience? I know it can be, I've heard it can be a different experience for the performer doing comedy in Vegas than other cities you might be stopping off in.
Yeah, but I've always had good shows. I mean, there's a reason I come back, but I do think it's true that when you go to most cities, you feel like you're performing for people from there, whereas you go to Vegas, you feel like you're performing for people who are from everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so it takes a little bit longer just to clock what kind of audience you have on any given night, but that is what makes, I think, Vegas exciting, not just for comedians, but for all kinds of performers, is the idea that you get this cross-section of not just this country, but, you know, people from all over the world come to Vegas. And, there's always, you know, an electricity in the room. I feel like no one's ever bored in an audience in Las Vegas.
And you're doing so much politics on the show
these
days, which you did before on SNL too, of course. But I think people identify you more with that subject now maybe than before.
Yeah.
Is that something that you wanted to do on this show before Trump, or has it been kind of reactionary?
I mean, I think it was, you know, we were in the first sort of 18 months of our show, we were trying to figure out who we are and what it was we wanted to do. And then the election started, and, you know, that's about an 18 month journey as well these days. I mean, it's already starting up now and obviously very far away from the 2020 election. And so our show developed into something that was reacting to politics. I think it was probably, it all felt a little sped up because of having someone like Donald Trump in the mix. And, you know, we've been very honest about the fact that we thought he would be a short time participant in the proceedings. And, you know, we were obviously proven very wrong, but, in the chase of covering all the madness of the days leading up, you know, the months leading up to the election, I think we were a show that then all of a sudden became better at reacting to things quickly. And because he's the president, we still have a lot to react to quickly every day.
Now, you certainly aren't the first to get the type of reaction where it's kind of along the lines of, you know, we shouldn't depend on comedians for news and analysis and that kind of stuff. Other people got that before you, but you do get, I guess, that criticism, for lack of a better word. Do you just let that kind of hang out where it is, or do you want to react to that? Or,
well, I also don't think people should get their news from comedians. I do think we're not a bad second place to stop after you get the news. You know, we try to provide some catharsis for people on a news day by, you know, telling them things that happen, laying it out honestly. You know, we don't try to say things that are untrue, but, you know, our whole purpose is to give it to you with as many jokes as possible. But, I would think as a first source, you could do a lot better than getting your news from us.
But also you could do a lot worse.
That's true. You know what? I'll take that.
If you watch Late Night, you probably also watch The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon, and that is where my next pseudo-guest maintains his day job. Questlove is the band leader. His band is The Roots, the legendary hip-hop crew from Philadelphia. Quest is also a drummer, a producer, and a best-selling author, but he's also one of the most sought-after DJs in the country, and he's been coming to Vegas for years now to play gigs with The Roots and Spin at different venues like Hawkasan and Brooklyn Bowl. His new Vegas spot is Park MGM, where he DJs at On the Record nightclub, and for the first time this weekend, the Gemma pool party at the Nomad. I've actually interviewed Quest 3 times now, and he's one of my favorite artists to talk to.
Vegas is one of 3 places in America where I feel there's a pressure to recreate the countdown to New Year's Eve every 10 minutes. You know, when, what's the spot that Calvin Harris has his residency at?
Omnia at Caesars Palace.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, he plays a Hawkasan too, though.
Oh, no. Okay, so Hawkasan, when Hawkasan first opened and they, you know, got all those residents.
Mm-hmm.
So I was a part of that initial lineup. And when I went to visit, I was like, yo, man, I can't, you know, like every 5 minutes is New Year's Eve. Like every 5 minutes it's, you know, the whatever, the buildup of the EDM song. That and then, like, the you know, DJing is storytelling, you know, where you have an establishing point, a rising action, a climax, a falling action, and down, you know, and I'm just a way slower storyteller. So I'm more like, I'm more a half hour at a time storyteller, whereas like every 3 songs, you got to like lower the pressure, raise it up, and then have that orgasm moment every 3 records, and then bring it back down and repeat and do that for like 2 to 3 hours. And I was like, yo, that's way too much pressure. I'd rather you guys put me in the small side room, you know, for aging B-boys. But I mean, for me now, you know, playing that On the Record is finally like I found the spot that lets me do me. I mean, you know, because if you let me do me, then I'll mess around and start playing, you know, Benny Goodman and Kermit the Frog as my 2nd and 3rd records. But it at least allows me space to experiment and, you know, like treat my audience with some level of intelligence, not just like play the song at the moment and that's it.
Is pool party DJing something that you've done a lot of?
Or yeah, I was going to say, now that I've had like 5 good On the Record runs, now I'm getting cocky, like, yeah, bring on a pool party. But now I'm like, that might be a little different. You know, but it's also, I don't want to be those DJs that, again, I don't want to be the guy that's just like stuck in his ways on like, you know, what I think is quality stuff to play is what you're stuck with. So my pool party set's going to be a little bit more leaning to the right than the left to center stuff that I would normally do in my set, but I'm still going to make it creative, and that's the important part. So I actually prefer to do afternoon gigs personally. I just think for where my sweet spot is and where my zone is, because, like, a lot of my memories of early hip-hop is the afternoon block parties from, like, 12 to 9 p.m. or when the cops shut it down. So that's the kind of thing I always wanted to get back to. So as of lately, I've been doing less and less bottle service, nighttime, you know, hit them with the hits at 1 a.m. type of thing when they're super drunk. And I'm more into... instead of them being super drunk, I think they're more super appreciative. But again, you know, this is a Vegas pool party, so I gotta figure out a clever plan that still keeps it creative. So I'm up for the challenge, man.
From your perspective, does Vegas feel like a
maybe a cooler musical city than it has in the past?
It is. I mean, the credibility is definitely coming back. And that's not to take away from Celine or, you know, Elton or, you know, Britney or whatever has been there. But Vegas is basically the new L.A., you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, practically all of my friends, peers, and I'll say that at least 75% of them have all moved to Vegas. At first I was head scratching, like, why the hell would you move to Vegas? And then once they gave me like 19 reasons why, then even I was like, shit, maybe I'll survive, you know, that sort of thing. But all of LA is just basically moving to Las Vegas, which I just now feel as though, and then on top of that, I'm, you know, a lot of us out of town tourists are just discovering that there's a lot more life in the city than just on the strip that we know. You know, there's a lot of us that just think like a strip, and a lot of Vegas, you know, residents are like, no, that's like basically hanging out in Times Square. Like, we have other parts of this city that you guys aren't even aware of. So, yeah, I feel like Vegas in about really 5 years will be the destination point for entertainment, period.
Have you ever seen Boyz II Men's residency show in Vegas?
You know, it's weird. It's become a 10-year running joke with us. We all went to school together.
Yeah.
Literally, every time I know, like, I'm coming out there itinerary-wise or whatever, and I'm like, hey, yo, I'm coming. They're like, ah, dog, this is our night off. So I'm like, you guys have the longest – you always pick the weirdest night off to – like, whenever – even they don't perform on Saturdays or whatever. Like, the nights I'm out there, which is usually a weekend night, that's their night off. So I have yet to see it, but, you know, I would love to see it, but, you know – I mean, it's smart because they got on the train early.
Yeah.
And it works. Yeah.
It's a great show. I don't know if their Vegas show is a lot different from when they tour, but it's a lot of fun. They do a lot of different stuff that people don't expect.
Yeah, well, that's what they were telling me. They were like, you know, when I see them outside of Vegas, like when they come to Philly, whatever, it's more like this is the Boyz II Men show, which is weird because even with us, too, we have more fun in Vegas. Because the thing is like, my mind is, I always just wanted to, I've always fantasized about, you know, I always talked about, like, well, we could be the Blackfish or the, you know, I mean, we do the Grateful Dead numbers as far as, like, doing the gigs per year, but we never have a platform that lets us do cover songs or, you know, or do Mammoth shows or whatever. So actually the last Vegas show that the Roots played, which was like a month and a half ago, we did that. Like, a lot of the audience is like, oh, we didn't know that you guys had a 3-hour show. So, but for me, that's, you know, I felt that now's the time to test that theory and see if it works. So, yeah, I've yet to see their Vegas show, but, you know, I plan on it.
Okay, just a few strip notes for you. MGM Resorts is bringing the USA Today Food and Wine Experience back to the strip this year at the Las Vegas Festival Grounds. That's the outdoor event space just across from SLS, where Rock in Rio Vegas was held in 2015. Last year, this culinary festival had Martha Stewart attached, and she was here. And it was a little bit different. This year, it's going to be held on October 26th. And we'll feature chefs from MGM's stable of resorts, including Mario Carbone, Charlie Palmer, Susan Finnegar, Sean McClain, Roy Elamar, and more. They're all going to be serving up different dishes and drinks, probably doing some cooking demos too. Sounds like lots of foodie fun to me. Parker Ito is the new resident at the artist studio at Bellagio. He's a painter, sculptor, and mixed media artist. He's going to be there through June 23rd. And he'll be working on 5 original paintings inspired by his Vegas experiences. You can go watch him work from 2 to 6 p.m. Tuesday through Saturday. The studio is next to the Bellagio Gallery of Fine Art. and the Venetian celebrates its 20th anniversary this week on Friday, May 3rd. All guests who ride the Venetian gondola attraction will receive a special namesake Venetian rose, a custom variety specially bred to honor the Las Vegas resort, created in 2015. The resort is also honoring more than 650 team members who have been employed there since day one by displaying photos of them on exterior marquees and taking a big group photo in the waterfall atrium in between Venetian and Palazzo. There will also be a Founders Ball gala event later this summer. The Venetian is actually the second of three Strip mega resorts to mark 20 years in 2019. Mandalay Bay originally opened on March 2nd, 1999, and Paris Las Vegas opened on September 1st of that same year. Okay, what's taking over the Strip this week? Well, Sunday's May 5th, so you know what that means. There's almost always a big fight in Las Vegas for Cinco de Mayo weekend. This year we've got a middleweight world championship bout between Canelo Alvarez and Daniel Miracleman Jacobs at T-Mobile Arena Saturday night. There are also plenty of Latin music events all over the Strip this weekend, including Camila and Sin Bandera at Zappos Theater and Pepe Aguilar at MGM Grand Garden Arena. My one big show this week is Bruno Mars returning to his Park Theater residency Friday and Saturday. You know, Janet Jackson's opening her new show here later this month at Park Theater. And the only event separating these two superstars is, wait for it, An Evening with Bill and Hillary Clinton. That's on Sunday. Yes, the Clintons, stars of Las Vegas. That's it for this episode of The Sun on the Strip. You can always go back and listen to every episode available on Apple Podcasts or at lasvegassun.com/podcasts. Thanks again to Ken Miller. Thank you for listening. Catch you next week.